This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. I think today I'd like to discuss where we are. There's a lot of information that's come down the pipe about the Affordable Care Act and people signing up, and all sorts of things have been flying, including the fact that people who have signed up and have been given subsidies are now on the hook for, I think the average is about $457, about $500 that they have to pay back to the IRS, which I guess we've been talking about for the past couple of years, that this is exactly what was going to happen. If you got a subsidy, it really wasn't real. It was going to be taken, clawed back in your tax returns. And now they're admitting that. Not only that, but they've extended the registration period for people who need insurance until April. So then this is totally ridiculous, and it doesn't work. And I mean, the bad news just keeps rolling out, and I mean, it doesn't stop. I mean, this is just the beginning, unfortunately.
You know, Dr. George, the other thing that has just absolutely blown my mind, and I know pretty much that doctors aren't too astute when it comes to math, and people that are in the radio business aren't too astute when it comes to math, but they had, what, an 800,000-person glitch, I believe, where they had sent out the wrong tax forms, and they're saying, oh, well, 800,000, that's nothing. And, well, wait a second. In my math class, if you've got 10 million people that have signed up, and 800,000 of them have a problem, that's almost 10% in the way I used to figure it. And 10% is a pretty good problem.
It is. And for that 800,000, it's a big problem.
It's a big problem.
I mean, first of all, they're saying 11 million people signed up for the Affordable Care Act. And they negate the math that about 500 million of them, or sorry, 5 million of them, are people who lost their insurance and got rolled into Obamacare. So they didn't do it willingly. They were forced into it. And they make it sound like it was a win. We're talking over 300 million people in our country, and 11 million is a drop in the bucket. But it's managed to destroy the health care delivery for the rest of the country. That's a travesty. And, you know, this is not something that's going to go away. Obviously, the Republicans are not going to do anything. It's pretty clear about a lot of things. But they're not interested in changing this. They're interested in getting their next meal from the powers that be. And I don't know if you saw this, but they're saying that, and I'm not surprised with all the commercials that we've been seeing, that H&R Block stands to gain from this, because they're pulling people with their commercial into their offices because they want to get their money back. It's not happening. You're not getting your money back. What you will do is pay them for the tax preparation. So everybody who's feeding from this trough, they've just come out of the crack here, and you just can't get rid of the H&R Block commercials, just like the AARP commercials with Medicare, you know, supplemental Medicare insurance, just like all of these Medicare Advantage insurance commercials. It's just nauseating. They could care less about seniors. They could care less about you, me, or anybody else who's been forced by a mandate into this insurance, this Ponzi scheme. They're just culling you, you know, I should say herding you in so that you can be culled. You know, let's be frank. They're spending a ton of money in hospice care. They've shunted the 1% of what Medicare pays to hospice and to doctors and other healthcare providers who talk about hospice as an end-of-life decision. You now get paid for that consultation. They won't pay you to take your tonsils out, to give you a hip replacement, but they'll pay you probably pretty well to talk to somebody into getting to a hospice, because their life is just, you know, you've lived what you want to live, and there's nothing else to add. You know, you're taking away, basically, you're taking away resources, and you should like to die. You know, that's what they're doing. This is not subtle anymore. This is in your face. And all the folks who are talking about single payer, I mean, we've talked about this before. Do they not understand what's going on? I mean, maybe they like this. Maybe we somehow entered a system or of a society where life is forfeit, where, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not important. And quality of life gets to be decided by somebody else, not you and not your family. How many ways can people see this before they figure out this is wrong? And then you talk about the people, excuse me, who've gone into this system, who are going to do it for about a year. They don't talk about the people who got into it last year and realized I can't afford it and have dropped out. I mean, it's crazy, honestly. Is everybody in it for themselves? Forget about the bigger picture. Even though they say they love humanity and they're all about good of the many, they're not. And the governors, those Republican governors who had some moral fiber, had ethics, who are now jumping on the Medicaid bandwagon because they need the money, do they not read the bill? Because once they take the money, I think in 2020 or 2025, the government will stop giving them a subsidy to help pay for the Medicaid patients. And they'll be on their own. And guess what happens then, Dave? The taxes in those states to cover those extra people will go up. They have to. The government will lose. They'll lose the government subsidy, the welfare. And this is what you're going to get. It's going to be crazy, honestly.
It, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's already crazy. And, you know, you hate to point a finger, but it's not hard to blame, and you have to blame. Gruber was right about one thing. The American public is crazy, and we're crazy for letting this go on. And there's going to be a day of reckoning, and I think it's coming about closer and closer. And I think it's, you know, let me throw out a scenario and see what you think. You know, we have the crisis with I don't mean to be flippant, crisis with ISIS, but we have the ISIS problem. We have them making threats now, we think, on attacking American, our soil, another 9/11 or worse. We have the Obamacare crisis. We have Axelrod saying this is the one administration that has never had any problems at all,
on our soil, you mean any terrorist?
Pardon?
On our soil? You mean any attacks on our soil?
No. Axelrod came out and said that this administration was the only one that has never had any, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, any serious problems as far as inquiries and we look at the VA scandal that we haven't had any scandals. And
Wait a minute, he said that?
Oh yeah, this has been all over the news. He said it Sunday on NBC or one of Meet the Press
classic.
Or one that this administration has never had any scandal of any consequence. And you know, you look at Fast and Furious, you look at Obamacare, you look at the VA, it's all over the place. Anyway, what my scenario is, I'm just wondering if we're not almost to the point that the pot is about ready to boil. Between the VA thing, that idiot that's McDonald, that's the head of the VA now, saying that he was in special ops, he's a liar. Everything about the VA has been a lie. Everything about Obamacare has been a lie. Both parties lie. Everybody lies, you know, and it's just, and people are now being threatened, you know, by a crisis that the administration won't address as a crisis or won't identify them as Islamic terrorists. They're just evil people that are crooks. You know, I think the American people have about had it, or any that have any sense have about had it, and like I said, the pot's about to boil, and I don't know that anybody's going to like the results. It's going to be very nasty.
I think this is being intentionally stirred, the pot that's being intentionally stirred, because they do want that. I mean, you know, I don't think that the American people have given, for good or for bad, but the response that's been wanted. You know, they've been trying to get people to rise up, and that means everybody, even from the Ferguson, from Trayvon Martin, all of these demonstrations that have been planned, you know, I don't have a problem with peaceful demonstrations, but the way that they've been trying to just rile people up, race bait, class bait, I mean, you name it. Remember when the people who are working in fast food industry went on strike because they want a raise in their minimum wage, and, you know, there was work stoppage. It's everywhere. And this is all about absolute chaos, because you need to remake, change something. You have to produce chaos to do it. That's the Clower-Piven strategy. And they're doing it in every facet of our society, rich versus poor, working versus non-working, race, immigrant versus American citizen, you name it, men versus women. You know, if you watch, I don't know if you can stomach it, but if you watch the Academy Awards, I mean, everybody practically, not everybody, I take that back, but a couple people got up there. It was a social comment. Just take your award and go home. Yeah. Why do you feel that you have to superimpose, tell me what to think? And the sad part is, the people who are talking about equal pay for women are multi-millionaires. Do they even understand what it's like to actually make minimum wage, have to take care of your whole family on a, you know, I guess a $7.25 or $0.50 an hour paycheck? They could care less while they ask for their swag in their, you know, their Oscars lounge. I mean, come on, give me a break. They need to just go away. I'm done with these people. Everybody who talks from Hollywood out the other side of their rear end should just go home. I mean, this Liam Neeson, the guy who every movie he does has got a gun in his hand, talking about gun control and how we need to have that, and America is blah, blah, blah. Really? Why don't you just go back to where you came from? I'm just done with people telling us we're bad, you know, we're racist.
What makes them the authority anyway?
I don't know. Because they're mouthpieces. This is obviously an agenda that's being shoved down Americans' throat. And if you don't like it, they try to demonize you. I think we're past, this is what I think we're past the point of, being demonized. Where, oh, I feel bad because somebody, you know, there was slavery in our country and I feel bad because I'm, you know, I'm white and I have white privilege. Some stupidity like that. I think people are over that, really getting over that. And I think black people, I saw an awesome video yesterday about Al Sharpton and the Ferguson tragedy. And the Ferguson and the gentleman who was killed in New York, their family members were calling them out for what they were, using them as publicity to get money for National Action Network. I mean, basically, the daughter said all he wanted was the money. Somebody in Ferguson said they wanted us to use us to go on their campaign to raise money. They wanted to use our faces, our likenesses, just to as a marketing piece. People are now getting it. This is what they do. They cruise around looking for the next victim that they could use, suck the life out of, in order to make more money. This is not about real justice. It's not. And the fact that there's so many things going on in our country. Healthcare is just one little facet of it. But it all ties together in a huge tapestry that seems to me to be really obvious what they're trying to do. What we need to do is take, just, we're doing it. We stopped watching TV. People don't watch the news anymore. I can barely stomach it. I used to be able to watch it at least nightly. I can't. I mean, who's telling the truth? Everybody's paid by the same powers that be. You know, the cable networks are owned by the same corporate interests. They're never going to tell you the truth. If they do, it won't last very much on air, or they're just absolute echo chambers for what, you know, government wants to say. The fact that someone like Megyn Kelly, who I did respect at one point, was getting on TV and saying that parents should be forced, maybe the government should be able to tell parents to get vaccines. Basically, Big Brother should run the country and should run your vaccine industry, and it's okay. It's ridiculous. Do you not read? What about freedom of choice? This is the thing that I think that people really need to key in on. This is not an argument, really, about whether you should vaccinate your child, whether there's really herd immunity, whether there's really an outbreak and, measles is an issue. It's about freedom of choice, and it's about informed consent. That's the argument. They're not offering informed consent to parents or to people anymore. It's do it. If you don't like it, we're going to take your child. We're going to demonize you. We're going to make it painful. You're not a healthcare worker. You're not going to have a job unless you take a vaccine. Are you kidding me? What happened to freedom, informed consent means you have to tell the patient that there's a possibility of a bad outcome. There's a risk associated with this. So for anybody to get on and say nothing ever happens, it's 100% effective, is a lie, and that abrogates informed consent. And any physician who pushes that should be having their license revoked, because that means I can tell you anything, and you should just do it. Get your tonsils out. Doesn't matter if I think you come out or not. I just tell you to do it, you do it. Are you kidding? That's not how medicine works. And we should be up in arms, not saying some, you know, parents who brought their child into a pediatric office and was exposed to infectious disease. That's the pediatric office's fault, not the parent who brought their child in who was sick. They're supposed to have a second room for people who are infectious. I go after them, not the parents who didn't get their child vaccinated, quote unquote. Who knows if that's really the case? I mean, this is where we stand. This is not, we're not thinking rationally. It's all driven by emotion. And as soon as that happens, you lose your center and you're able to be pushed in whatever direction they want to push you in.
We're a nation of sheep. With that being said, do you want to take a break now and let people digest that? We'll be back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Alana George right after this.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you were able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will continue to rise while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We are committed to working with you. We specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps, a chronic sinus infection, or allergies that are either undertreated or have never been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we use state-of-the-art equipment so you can see the problem. You'll be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment, because we believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. We specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery, correction of a nasal septal deviation, and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office, getting you back to work the next day. And you can rest assured that all options will be discussed before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Alana George on America's Web Radio. And Dr. George is talking about her favorite subject, Obamacare, and what it's doing to the public.
It's hardly my favorite subject. I like to talk about other things, like being able to treat patients and enjoy being a physician and, you know, all the new advances that are out there that people can take advantage of. That's what I'd rather be talking about. But this is so overwhelming that it's changing the dynamic of being a doctor. I got an email the other day, or there's a doctor's forum called CIRMA, and there was a letter on there that talked about that if you ever got sued as a physician and you didn't do your maintenance of certification, meaning that you opted out of that, you said, I'm not playing this game, I'm not going to be, you know, extorted for money, that you would actually have a higher chance of losing your case because you weren't, quote, certified. That's what they're doing to doctors now. They're putting fear into doctors to make them do. If you're not going to do it because, you know, they're forcing you economically, they're going to try to make you fear being sued and not having a good defense. You know, basically they'll call your credentials into question. Does it matter that you've never been sued, that you had an excellent record, where you went to school, that you passed your boards? None of that will matter according to this email. It's the fact that you don't carry maintenance and certification. And they're going to try to paint, even doctors, I'm sure, that, like myself, I passed my boards the first time. I have a lifetime board certification. They're going to try to slander us as well. This is a bad situation. I'm going to tell you this right now. You're going to have doctors who step away, continue to step away from the table because they're not interested in taking a test that's completely non sequitur. Doesn't test you on things that are relevant to your specialty. You're talking about taking a test that covers across the board things you don't do anymore, that are outside your specialty. That's a test that you have to take, every 5 years? The cost is over $1,000. I think it's like $1,500, maybe $2,000. You have to take courses in between. And if you're GYN, I've heard that they take their test once a month. It's some crazy, ridiculous system where it takes you out of the game. You can't take care of your patient because you're already always studying for a test that doesn't help you. And this has already been shown. It does nothing for you clinically. Doesn't improve your clinical acumen, does not make you a better doctor, but I can tell you it makes the specialty boards loaded. They have millions of dollars in their war chest now. And the people who administer this test and the boards are getting rich off of their own brethren. This is not about patient care. It's a system. And when they get these guys in the system, they've already started the process. We talked about this before. But people in medical school are not learning the same things that I did. That's only about 15 years ago.
Dr. George, I have to step away for just a second. I'll be right back.
Sure. It's a completely different system where they're teaching new medical students that it's all about groupthink. It's all about being part of a team. Accountable care organizations are the driving force. That it's about making sure that you distribute your limited resources properly. They're getting them into the mindset of this is a finite system. There's only a certain amount of resources. We need to distribute them to people who we feel deserve them, who will benefit the most from them. And if you're really sick or if you've really, and I know this is coming, they're going to start looking at your lifestyle choices. If you are overweight, if you smoke, if you drink, if you don't exercise, this is all going in your medical record, by the way. They're going to be able to determine whether or not maybe you have diabetes or high blood pressure, whether you did it to yourself, and whether they're going to spend effort on you if you end up in their care, in an ICU with a heart attack, with respiratory failure because you've have emphysema because you smoked. They will not be spending the same amount of resources on taking care of you. My instance, if you have respiratory failure, you're on a ventilator for a certain number of time, they would call a consult to ENT to do a tracheostomy to get you off of the ventilator in an attempt to get you mobile, get you on your feet, help clear your secretions more efficiently. They're not doing that anymore. They're not calling the consults. They are putting you on hospice. That's a dynamic change. Doesn't matter what your age is. You can be 30-something. You can have maybe sometimes no other medical problems, but what you have acutely is considered to be the outcomes by algorithms will be considered to be something that is too expensive to treat. And I predicted too, and I'm going to say it again so that you understand the consequences of this. They are now paying these accountable care organizations a set amount of money per year. You have to work off of that money. So you keep that money in your own pot amongst your members as long as you don't provide services. So every time you order a CT, every time you see the patient in the office, every time you order a lab, that money is taken from your master pot. So if you give good service and if you actually take care of the patient meticulously, you will end up with less money at the end of the year. If you admit people over and over again because they're sick, every time they go into the hospital won't be paid if it's less than 30 days. So if they have high blood pressure, they end up with, congestive heart failure, and they end up being admitted less than 30 days for an exacerbation or some sort of worsening of their symptoms, the hospital won't be paid. So now we have a government entity, Medicare, you know, CMS, Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, whatever they call that thing now, is distributing money, the master distributing the money out to the hospitals, out to the accountable care organizations, and they control the purse strings more so than they ever did. And not only are they just doling out the money, they're deciding what gets treated, how it should be treated, what the outcome should be. That's an issue. That will ripple. It's rippling through the rest of the society, the rest of the healthcare industry. If you're not sick, you don't see it. Well, if you are seeing it, you're seeing it in higher premiums, higher deductibles. You're paying into the system. But this money is flowing up, but it stays there. So basically, doctors, hospitals, any healthcare provider is now in a position where they are being paid to not treat you. They're being paid to give you as little, as minimal services as they can get away with. And if you are sick and you have multiple medical problems and you do need a lot of resources, they're counseling you. This is why they're counseling you to do hospice, to go home. You know, let's treat you by the phone. Let's do internet and, virtual visits, because they don't come off their bottom line. But if you're sick, you need to be seen by somebody. You need someone to lay hands on you. You need to actually be treated. This is not a good thing, in my opinion, that you're having virtual office visits. It's not. If doctors and patients are based, the whole system is based on the doctor having a personal relationship with the patient so they can know them, so they can actually have a back-and-forth relationship that helps the patient get better. This is a one-way relationship. You enter your numbers into the computer if you're diabetic. They tell you, oh, adjust your medication. They don't ever see you. Who knows what you're doing? I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. But when you look at it and when you know that it's because the pocketbook, the purse strings, are now being centralized, it's no longer general, especially in the private insurance industry, it's becoming less about the commercial insurances doing their own thing, which they never really did in terms of paying out to physicians. But they did in what they would cover and what the formulary was. That was a little bit different. Now that's all being centralized. And they're starting off with Medicare Advantage. Those insurance companies who take money from Medicare to administer their Medicare Advantage are being held to the same standards as Medicare straight.
Well, isn't that because anything that has to do with the government is not the same standard as private?
No, it's worse.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
it's the template. However the Medicare system goes in terms of payment, in terms of what's covered, the commercial insurance generally follows suit. Sometimes they're a little bit worse because, let's say for my specialty, balloon sinus dilation is covered by Medicare, but it's not covered by certain commercial insurance companies,
Dr. George,
though they should.
We need to take another break and come back with more on that. I want to talk about your knowledge of doctors moving out of the United States and opening practices where they can practice medicine again when we get back. You're listening to America's Web Radio and Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. We'll be back right after this.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because I believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that's individualized. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing or your child has frequent throat infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual, not an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed, and all of your questions will be answered. And when possible, I will recommend natural treatments to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you were able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will continue to rise while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We are committed to working with you. We specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. And, you know, there are alternatives, and people best start waking up to them, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've had a lot of these alternatives on our show. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma, the doctor from Wichita, doctors from Florida. This is the future. This is actually really the future of medicine. It's not going into an accountable care, system. It's not. It's not carrying commercial insurance unless you have it for catastrophic. Anybody who enters the Affordable Care Act exchange is in for a rude awakening. I've seen these patients, and I'm trying my darndest. They're getting really smart, the insurance companies. They don't tell you it's Obamacare. Before you could kind of tell. Now you have to really wean. When you do an intake on patient to make an appointment, you have to be really careful, ask a ton of questions. Where did you get your insurance? Is it private? Is it from your employer? That's one way to determine it, but that's going to start to change, I guess, in the next year or so. But it's a disaster. The patients are paying, and they told me this. I can't even tell you how many times I've heard this. I'm paying more for my premium than I am for my mortgage. I didn't know I had to pay more out of pocket on top of my premium. They have no clue that they're just being gouged. And the doctors that they're going to see are steadily dropping out of this. Any doctor who figures this out. I've heard of other doctors who they've now told their employer, their office, to no longer take Obamacare because they haven't been paid for any of their services. So I knew that was coming. I stopped that day one, but there's other doctors who didn't pay attention. So now they have a huge accounts receivable. They can't get it from the patient because they can't afford it. The government's not going to pay them because it was now driven to patient responsibility. This is what they do. They tell you it's okay to do the procedure or do the office visit. You do it. You submit your bill, and then they tell you it's not medically necessary or the patient's not covered for that service. And then it becomes the patient responsibility. Good luck collecting that money. It's never going to happen. So now you're losing quality doctors out of the system who've been burned, who will never get back into the system. And you're left now with the hospital-based doctors. You know how that pool is not as large as the private doctor base. It's not. So now you have a system where the doctor pool is smaller. The doctors that you do see, the treatment, if it's hospital-derived or their hospital-based practice, it's more expensive because they base their billing on the hospital charges, which is two or three times higher than it is in the private market. The line to get in to see them, by definition, will be longer because there's going to be much more backlog because they have a finite number of doctors. So you're entering a system where you're going to take longer to be seen, probably get seen by a doctor who's next, who is fiduciary obligation is to the hospital, not to you, and who will be forced to follow mandates by their electronic medical record system. meaningful use is no joke. They're asking questions on a social history a mile long. I mean, amazing questions. I've talked about it before. I'm not joking. You ever had a gun in your home? Or do you have a gun in your home? How do people live in your home? Have you ever tried to kill yourself? Things that you just don't want to necessarily talk about if you're not in a psychiatrist's office. That's what they want. And if you don't fill out those questions, you cannot close the electronic medical record. You cannot finish your note. So you're going to ask those questions. And the patient needs to answer them. I don't know if they're going to do it truthfully, but they're capturing all sorts of data in this system that if you want privacy, you better think about going to a direct pay practice because that system is not open. Their electronic medical record system is not open to the World Wide Web. And by that, I mean Human Health Services, Homeland Security, FBI, and the rest of the alphabet agencies that are looking for you to see if you committed fraud, if you take a subsidy. That's the nice part about it. The other part, I'm sure, is data mining about your mindset. If you have a gun, are they going to come for you when time comes? Or, you know, are you not going to get the job because you took an antidepressant to stop smoking at one point? I don't know that. But if that information is not locked in your doctor's office, it can be used against you. There's no question about that now, right? So direct pay practices. We've talked about it before. For those who are new to the show, those are doctor's offices and hospitals, or I should say surgery centers, private healthcare delivery systems, whether it be radiology, labs, etc., who do not take commercial insurance, do not take Medicaid or Medicare, have a direct relationship with you. They used to be called concierge, and that's still probably a model, but I think that model is dying on the vine, where you spend a couple thousand dollars a year, and you have to carry your private insurance on top of that just to be able to see your doctor and have old-fashioned medicine. That's dead. The real thing that people should be looking for are subscription-based practices where you're paying $50 a month or $60 a month, including all of your visits, including all of your labs, including discounted services for anything that can be done in the office, and access to specialists, to surgery centers, to ancillary services that are deeply discounted because they all work on the fee-for-service model. They've managed to make fee-for-service a bad word, and it's a lie. Fee-for-service is cheaper than having to go through your insurance. I cannot say it enough. I can send a patient in Atlanta to urgent care, North Atlanta Urgent Care, for $120. They will do a complete intake, workup, any labs, any x-rays for that $120 flat. If I send you to any hospital ER in my city, anywhere in this country, you're walking in the door at maybe $600 just to walk in for them to do the intake. And then they tack on every single thing after, every aspirin, every, you know, garbage can that's used to for you to, you know, throw the waste into, chamber pot that you might need to sit on. They're charging for that. And they're charging 3 or 4, maybe 10 times what the thing actually costs because they don't have any cost control. And they're making profit on everything they do. Everything. So when you walk out with a bill, I've heard, you know, someone coming in with a headache and coming out with a $60,000 ER bill. It's ridiculous because they've totally gouged you. And nobody's sitting on them to make them give you market rate. But they're coming after every private they can do, come after, saying that we're the problem, that we're causing the healthcare costs to go up. It's a lie. I charge the same thing now I charged in 2001. No different. But if I did the same procedure and I was a hospital-based doctor, I'd have to charge you 10 times what I charge you right now.
That's just
incredible. This is reality, people. Wake up.
Just incredible. Are people going to wake up, do you think?
Well, I mean, they're going to wake up hopefully before they get sick. And I've neglected to say that the people who are entering the commercial-based affordable care system are not being treated by doctors on average. They're treated by healthcare providers, extenders, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and the nursing staff, the nurses. There's been a change in what it means to be a nurse now. A registered nurse doesn't take care of you anymore. They're doing administration. They're doing case management. And what that means is their whole job is to get you out of that hospital as fast as they can get you out so the hospital can maximize their profit. It's not healthcare, people. It's not healthcare delivery anymore. It is a money-making scheme. You happen to be the means to make the money, but you also happen to be the means to lose money. So they have to walk that fine line between making the money off of you, getting you out by any means necessary, hospice if necessary, euthanasia, slow walk with a little morphine when necessary, and not admitting you at all when necessary, to keep their profits high. Because it's not, when they tell you not-for-profit, those people are making money hand over fist. That's a total misconception. That means they have the license to make more profit on you and get a kickback in the tax return. I mean, this is a total scam. And they don't want competition. This is how they, this is the entire government system that we live under right now, where there are winners, there are players, there are big players of the game, and there's everybody else. And they don't feel like they can compete with you. If you're private, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're somebody who's independent and handling their business, you are a threat to them. As a doctor, they don't want private practitioners. They don't want somebody with a shingle next to a hospital. They will put your butt out of business faster than you can say boo. And that means close down your surgery centers. Happened to me. We had 4 surgery centers around where my office was or is. They all closed. The only game in town for me, if I want to go 5 minutes or 10 minutes away from my office, is the hospital. And to top it off, I have to be on staff in that hospital. I have to take call in their ER. Otherwise, I can't use their hospital for anything. That's restriction of trade. So I don't do it. I go half an hour, 45 minutes away to the next surgery center to see, to take care of my patients, because I'm not going to be forced to take an ER call where, and this is, it's under siege here. Doctors are under siege. So when somebody comes into that ER, hospitals now have a call center situation where they have a group of hospitals throughout the city, sometimes throughout the state, who are all tied from a economic standpoint and a clinical standpoint, and they have a catchment or a call center. If you're in Rome, Georgia, for example, and you call into this ER, this call center, the person is told, okay, this is the problem, send them to Atlanta for their care. That may be 2 hours, 3 hours away. There's no EMTs where they are. They pop these folks in an ambulance and they send them down. What they don't do is call the ENT on call and say, hey, I've got a patient with an airway issue. That ENT doesn't do tracheostomies. It doesn't matter to them. You're seeing the patient. You're doing it. That patient's now in our system, and you are legally obligated to go and do that consult. Doesn't matter if it's outside your scope of practice. Doesn't matter if your butt should not be in an OR doing a trach. What happens when there's a bad outcome? There will be. And what happens if you get the patient into the hospital and you have to find, and this is the doctor's job now, is to transfer that patient to another hospital that does have an ENT that can do a trach. Well, good luck finding that person to take the call, to take the responsibility for this sick patient. It's just a disaster. And what happens is, most ENTs don't take call now. Mm. Most specialists don't take call now. So when you go into the hospital setting, you're not likely to actually get the specialist you need. I've heard of hospitals don't have GYN call, don't have ENT call, don't have surgery on call. So when you end up there, you're screwed. So they have to stabilize you and find somewhere to send you. If you have a heart attack or a stroke or something that needs to be treated right away, you do not want to be life-flighted to a hospital, 15, 20 minutes away, or get an ambulance and travel to get the care that you need. That's not standard of care. And I've always said, you should not be able to have an emergency room, open it, if you don't have every emergency specialty present. You shouldn't be allowed. But that's what's going on in this system. So you have doctors who are under duress, who are taking care of patients from hundreds of miles away, who are forced to be conscripted into doing this, and if they're part of the hospital staff, they've got no choice. If you have somebody who's not their scope of practice, overworked, doesn't want to be doing it, that's not somebody you want taking care of you. That's now the standard of care. And the ERs are no longer staffed, for the most part, by ER board certified doctors. They're moonlighting, they're family practice. They do one thing pretty well, maybe chest pain, shortness of breath. If you come in with anything else, they're calling a consult. And There's so many ways how the system is bad. We need a whole show for that, Dave.
we need to take a break right quick. Take a deep breath, Doctor, and we'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps, a chronic sinus infection, or allergies that are either undertreated or have never been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we use state-of-the-art equipment so you can see the problem. You'll be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment, because we believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. We specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery, correction of a nasal septal deviation, and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office, getting you back to work the next day. And you can rest assured that all options will be discussed before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. This is Dr. George. Join me on Wednesday mornings from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock when we talk about more than medicine. It's now about staying healthy, but it's about the strategy to do so. Join me on Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because I believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that's individualized. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing or your child has frequent throat infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual, not an ailment. During your visit, you'll not be rushed, and all of your questions will be answered. And when possible, I will recommend natural treatments to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Okay, we're back on America's Web Radio and Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. And the problems keep mounting. It's going to be interesting to see if on this second go-around, if the Supreme Court is going to do anything other than bless Obamacare, if they stood up and actually did something to say, hey, wait a second, this isn't legal. This isn't right. You can't do that.
You know, I hope and pray that they do that, but I'm not sure, really, from a real-world, real-time perspective, it's going to make a difference. They've put so many of these pieces in place. They've damaged the system, and it's almost irretrievable at this point because it's been online now, seven years or so? What they've been doing is putting the pieces in place in preparation for it. So medical education has changed. Doctors who were in private practice have already gone out of business. Those are not coming back. Doctors who are in the system are and really have been beaten down, basically just drones at this point. They're not likely to be able to extract themselves because they've sold their practice. They're just going to go along and get along. They don't even have the mindset of we're being sucked dry. You know, we're just being like a vampire just sucking the life out of you. I think that they're not coming back either. So the system, to me, we can't wait. This is the most important thing, I think, Dave, to say today. You can't wait for the system to change. You have to be the change. And this system, every system works on choice of what the consumer wants. We have the opportunity or the power to make the change now. Find the direct pay practice in your city and go to that. The hospitals understand when they're losing market share, and they can't put their foot on the neck of a practice that's thriving that's outside the system. They can't do it. So by the time you wait for Congress, which is never going to happen, to make a change, to have your back, to actually fix this, you'd be better off going to a doctor, a system that's going to treat you with respect, that's going to give you quality care. I realize, you know, I've changed my mindset about traveling, about a lot of things. I want to be treated well. And I changed my mind about being a physician and having patients that want to work with me. I'm worthy of patients coming to my practice that want to be partners in their care. I love what I do. I do not want someone coming in and telling me how to practice medicine, one. Two, not caring about themselves. If you don't care about yourself, you can't expect me to do a good job. I'm trying to get rid of people like that in my practice. And thank goodness it's happening. People who are coming to see me, and I'm sure other direct pay doctors, are seeing patients who decide, who looked at this system and said, no, thank you. I want someone who's going to really treat me as an individual, not shove a drug down my throat, not stick me with a vaccine before I walk in the door, actually individualize my care, because I want the best care as well, and I'm willing to pay for it. That mindset needs to be, I think I need to take that mindset throughout whatever you do. That means whatever store you shop in, whatever food you put into your mouth, whatever you do now has to be because you're worthy of it. Don't settle anymore, because when you settle, you get what you pay for. This system is going to take you out. When you reach 56, 57, according to the complete live system, which this is driven by, you're now a cost center. You're now too expensive, and they're not going to spend resources on you. I'm telling you the truth. You need to do your own research. I did. That's how I came up with this. I didn't just come out of, just think this up. I read for years on this subject. And everything that comes down the pipe that I predicted is happening. And all they need is a sheep, willing population to do what they're told. That's what they need. That's what they thrive on. And as soon as you opt out, you break the system. I noticed that people stopped eating a lot of high fructose corn syrup in their cereals. Now you have the manufacturers taking it out because they realize, hey, people aren't buying our stuff. We need to make it better. Well, that's the same thing with medicine. If you go to somebody who can give a damn about you, you will get what you pay for. And if you decide, I want to see a doctor, and the interesting thing is you won't pay more. You'll actually pay less. This is the one thing in our society that you actually can get the best care and actually pay less for it. And you will force Obamacare out the window. Forget what Supreme Court does. If people vote with their pocketbooks and with their feet, then we win. And that's what I would say to anybody listening. That's the key. Absolutely the key.
Well, we're going to have to use that key and start using it soon and making our infamous Congress pay attention to what the public wants and what we're doing.
Oh, stop voting for these people. You know, someone said something once, which I thought was really interesting. If we all, I know it would never happen, but in a scheme of things, if we held our vote, if we just didn't vote for one of these elections, that would send a message. Just don't do it. If you don't mount an election, nobody votes for them, they don't win. Nobody wins, and they start taking notice. Because all they care about is getting into the next round, getting the war chest together to pay for the next round so they can get more out of the system. They could care less about what you want. Obviously, that's the case, since the last election was a mandate, and they're completely ignoring the mandate on every level.
You know, unfortunately,
what
they would do, though, is just keep promising people stuff, whether it was true or not. They just promise, and the people that don't care anything about working, don't care anything about bettering themselves, would vote for them, and they'd still be elected. And that's
Those people are voting anymore, tell you the truth. That's why the election was so tight. The people who voted for the freebies are too out of it to go and vote. They're trying to get more people. This is classic. I understand that the Democrats now are trying to, I guess, entice white Southern males to vote Democrat in the next round of elections. I don't know how they're going to do it, but that's the next group they're trying to get, because they've poisoned the well for everybody else that they've tried to get into their fold, because everybody who voted for them got nothing. Nothing. They don't offer anything. They're talking about a negative vote. It's always against something. it's always negative, and I was always voting about being a victim. I think people are tired of that. I don't care if they're black, white, green. They're tired of someone thinking that they're nothing, that they need to be taken care of, that, you know, you're too stupid to make a decision. You need us to do it. I think people are getting down. Really, right now, they're apathetic. They're just not involved. But at some point, I think you're right, people will start to take more of an active role in, you know, in voicing their opposition to this. But until that time happens, those of us who are awake and are with it need to handle our business, and that means opting out of this system in every way. I say it every week practically, but you should start off with your body. Not only health, but when you travel, don't go through that stupid, you know, detector, whatever that thing is, the scanner. Nobody knows how, if that's safe. There's a cancer cluster in Massachusetts for the TSA agents around, who work around that thing. It's not calibrated. You expect one of those TSA agents to actually calibrate it? It's like a CT scan. Unless you know the radiation, you know, you calibrate it so it's not over-producing the terabytes, or terahertz, sorry. That's the energy wave that it uses, which is not an X-ray, not infrared, but it has enough energy to technically unzip your DNA and cause mutations when it does reconstitute itself. I'm not interested in that. And it affects the skin. So for men, the reproductive organ is outside the body. Who knows what happens to the testes and to the sperm? We don't know. But it's now, what, 3 or 4 years in? 5 years? Whatever it is.
Yeah. No,
they
longer than that,
They need to do a study on folks who frequently travel.
It's scary beyond words.
Well, it's not scary. Just opt out.
Just opt out. Exactly.
I opt out. I have never done it. Have no intention of doing it.
Well, Dr. George, I'm afraid that we have come to the end of another show. It always goes very fast when you're on. And I think people, you know, there's something about, you can tell how sincere you are just in your voice and your tone and your feelings. And people across the country appreciate that, and we appreciate you very much.
Well, we're all in this together, so whatever I know, I need to share that, because that's what it's about. And I want everybody to don't listen to me. Do your own research. That's all I ask.
That's it. And we've got the facilities to do it. Mm-hmm. With that being said, we will talk to you next week on Medicine on Call. You're listening to America's Web Radio. Thank you, Dr. George.
Thank you. Have a great week, everybody.
This is America's Web Radio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.